Well, thank you very much for that introduction. I was just reminded of a cartoon I saw once where the pastor is trying to get away after the service, and he's in his convertible, and he's trying to drive off, and there's a woman who is standing there, and she's got one hand on the parking sign pole and the other hand on the bottom of his fender of his car, and the wheels are spinning. And the caption says, "Oh, you wanted to speak to me, Mrs. Thunder Muffin?" Well, thank you for your welcome today. I'm excited to be here. I hope you're excited to be here today. I've heard so much about Crossroads, and I know your pastor. I love your pastor. We go back to the Middle East. I want to thank you for your partnership in the gospel as we share together, for the reformation of this city, people's lives, people that you walk with every day, people who need the love of Jesus Christ in their life. Need to know that transformation that only He can bring. So on behalf of the Salvation Army, I want to say thank you. It's good to walk with you. It's good to be in this city with you and uplifting the name of Jesus. Linda's going to come and read the scripture passage for us today. And from Colossians chapter 3.
Pick one. Pick anyone.
It's not nice to fool little ladies. One, and he says, "No, not that one."
All right.
I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 12. If you have your Bibles, would you please get them out and look at them? And it would be appropriate, I believe, today to stand while we read the Word of God. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The Father through him. Giving thanks. We are a blessed people here, and we should be thankful. And this is the word of the Lord for us today.
Bumblebee, Grimlock, Sideswipe, Fixit, Underbite, Strong Arm, Steel Jaw. Who are they? Transformers. Absolutely. Did you know that? Transformers. Transformers, they're amazing. I sit there with my grandson, and he's got these things, the ugliest looking things I've ever seen. And he's got them, and he's saying, Grandpa, look at this, and this is what this can do. And he's flipping it back and forth, and he's got it all going. And the next thing I know, here's this thing that spits and shoots stuff and has these jaws. And I'm thinking, whoa. Well, Transformers aren't that new. Like, they had Transformers when I was a kid. Of course, they supplied electricity to our house, but yeah, we had electricity. Just want to make it clear. But here are these things, these transformers, and so I looked it up on Wikipedia, and this is the definition of a transformer: robots in disguise. Robots in disguise. Well, they're absolutely right. What is this thing? Was my first reaction to these transformers. But I want to talk to you this morning about a transformation that takes place in your life and in my life that is undeniable and is not in disguise. I want to talk to you this morning. The Lord has laid on my heart to speak to you about living in His presence. That's a scary thought. Wherever you go, whatever you and I are doing, because we have been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ into a new creation, God is there watching, helping. The psalmist says that he is looking across this earth to find men and women, boys and girls, who will call upon His name and live a righteous life. So wherever you've been this week, whatever you have done, whatever has gone on in your life and in my life, God has been there. And He, through His love for us, has transformed us into new creations. This new creation is a therefore in our life. I love that little transition word in the Word of God. And here in Colossians, he's talking about a therefore. In the previous 11 verses, he's saying, this is what you were, and this is what was going on in your life, and this is what was happening. But one day, you came across me, Jesus, and your life was transformed. And he says, so now what? Therefore, he says, as God's chosen people. So what are you going to do now? The therefore has happened in your life and in my life. The therefore, do you remember that moment When God came to you in a living reality and you got that wow sensation, it might have been a very quiet time. It might have been a time in a worship service. It might have been sitting beside a brook at a men's retreat, or hammering as you put a house together for the underprivileged, or carried a hamper out at Christmas time for a family. A wow moment when God comes in his majesty and power and his almightiness and transforms your life, and you are no longer the same. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. I thank God that the old is gone. The stuff that was is no longer. But the new, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The new has come. And a transformation has taken place. And I am not that person any longer. But through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I am a new creation. Paul says here, since in verse 10, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of the Creator. And so he gives us instructions. He gives us the therefore of our lives. And he says, here's the newness that has come. Here, check this out. Here's a plan to live by. Here are things that you are going to grow in knowledge and understanding of. Here is something that is going to allow you to be all that I want you to be and all that I have ever planned for you. God has known you from the beginning of time. The Word of God clearly says, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, I knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. From the very beginning to the very end, God knows you. He knows all about you. He knows everything you've done, everything you're going to do, and he has the greatest plan that has ever been planned for you. And what amazes me is that God knows me so very well, and he still loves me. Now, I've been married for 48 years. Linda and I have been together, get this, since grade 3. Well, and I wasn't the only guy in the class. Yeah, she's a saint. Linda and I share a love for each other. We're best friends. We have been together all that time. We got married young. I think we were 12 or 13. Linda was older than me. And we learn more about each other every day. It's exciting to be loved. The greatest love is God's love for me. I feel so undeserving at times. How about you? It's unimaginable. God's love for me. In August of 2012, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was a pretty dramatic event in my life. Pastoring the church here, and things were going, and we were moving and shaking, and you know, everything was happening, and suddenly I had that psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. Surgery went well. I know that this congregation prayed for me, and I thank you for that. And then I took a turn for the worse. Spent the next 4 months in and out of hospital, out of the ministry for another almost 8 months. And during that time, when I wanted to get up and go and do, God says, "Be still. Be still because I love you. And this plan that I have for you reaches far beyond what you have planned in your life." God is amazing. Would you agree with me? You know how amazing God is. He's worked in your life. He's made changes in your life. He has brought you to places that you thought you would never go before. I had no idea I would end up living in British Columbia. I was born in a little town in Ontario called Toronto, and I thought I was going to live there forever. Because you know there is nothing beyond the borders of Ontario. God had a different If you grew up in the Salvation Army like I did, the name Rufus McDaniel may not be familiar with you, nor this song that we used to sing, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Oh, man, I'm telling you, thank you, worship team. You've got the best going here. That was just, thank you so very much. In the Salvation Army, when you get a 36-piece brass band and a choir of another 28 and drums going and tambourines tambourining and you get then flags flying and you get that song singing, man, I'm telling you, you get hoarse from singing. Because we sing that again and again and again and again and again. And when you're 13 years old, you're thinking, when will this ever be over? Come on. I got things to do, places to go, people to see. And we sang it and we sang it and we sang it. And then people would jump up everywhere from the congregation and they would testify the transforming changes that Jesus had brought into their life. And I have seen miracles as people have testified again and again and again. Robert Kabatoff. You don't know him. You'll never get a chance to meet him. I got a call one day in the office, and this woman, this mother was sobbing in her heart, and she says, "Lieutenant, you've got to go and see my son. You're the only one that can save him." Oh, stop right there. She gave me the address. I got in the van. I drove a few short blocks away. And I looked at the outside of this dilapidated, run-down shack of a place. And I prayed. Oh, God. I have no idea what you are putting me into here, but I claim your power. I opened the door to this 6-apartment place, and it stunk. Cats running everywhere. I knocked on the door. And I knocked again, and I knocked again. I thought, great, he's not home. I'm leaving. Suddenly, a voice, "Come in." Thank you. Bless you. And I walked in, and the odor was unbelievable. And there, lying on a couch, was a very sad-looking human being. Robert Kabatoff, who was an alcoholic, who walked with two canes because alcohol had taken over his body. He told me that one day, one Saturday, he opened the pub and closed the pub and drank 150 draft that day. That boggles my mind, even today. What am I going to do? Robert came to church. I picked Robert and Mary up, and I brought them to church. And they sat right over there in the back. And God's loving people moved away from them. Wait a minute. Have you not been transformed by the power of the living God? And you are moving away? They didn't have bad odor. They stunk. That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. But one day, in the quietness of Robert's life, in that moment when God's Holy Spirit, who continually engages us, a breakthrough in Robert's life, and he became a child of the King. And he was transformed into a new creation. Robert was 33 years old when I met him. And in that transformation, alcohol stopped right away. The canes were thrown away. And he walked in the glory of God, living in his presence. And he was a new creation. Absolutely changed. The next thing that happened was he and Mary was 54, Robert was 33. He said to Mary, I want to marry you. They'd been together 12 years. And he says, before I marry you, we need to be separated. The word of God has spoken to me very plainly. And I need to move out. Robert slept in a tent for 4 months until he could righteously marry Mary. And he read the scripture that says, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One. And Robert and Mary were transformed. And at the age of 35, Robert Kabatov died. The toil of drinking all those years had taken his liver and his body. And now he rejoices in heaven. J.B. Phillips helps us in these days, and he says that God takes the initiative and we enjoy favor with God. God takes the initiative. The Holy Spirit of God has invited you and me into a love relationship with Him. And that's where the transformation takes place. And we enjoy favor with God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And Paul is saying to the Colossians, you're a holy people. You need to act differently. You are set apart for God. You are a unique creation. Turn to somebody and say, you're unique. Now respond and say, I know so. Absolutely. There is no one like you on this earth. Oh, you may look like somebody. Do I remind you of anybody? Maybe Marlon Brando? Arnold Schwarzenegger. George Burns. Thank you. But we are commanded to be different. We are commanded not to be robots in disguise. We are commanded to be different in a world that is lost. We are to be holy in this new creation because you are picked representatives, J.B. Phillips says, of the new humanity purified by God and beloved by God himself. It's that whole John 3:16 experience. For God so loved Larry, I've taken that personally. I did it as a six-year-old kid. And again, when I was 21, when I really understood what it meant to live in His presence, oh God, it boggles my mind that You chose me, that You have set me apart, that I am here in this time and space, and that You have a plan for my life that reaches beyond anything I could put together. But God, just help me to listen. Help me to be still long enough to know that You are God. Because God has transformed us, we have this opportunity to love the people of God. Oh, yes, we're unique. Oh, yes, we don't all fit into the same box. Oh, yes, we have our little interest secrecy. We look different. Some are robust, and some are disadvantaged because they're not robust. God places His hand on you, and He places His hand on me, and He says, my beloved, I love my wife more today than I did yesterday, and not as much as tomorrow. But God loves me with everything He has right at this very moment in time. God, the creator of the universe and the universe beyond us, and every star in the sky and every breath that You take is given by His permission. Whoa! Sometime this afternoon, take 5 minutes. Take a minute. Take 30 seconds. Just to realize that the God of the universe knows exactly where you are, what you're doing, and your thoughts before you think them. Whoa! Can you imagine? And He loves us, and we are to love each other. Put on a heart of compassion, the Word of God says. Put on kindness. Put on a garment of humility. And Paul goes on, and it's that whole Galatians 5, that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. As a community of believers, as a faith community, we are to love one another and be a unified force against the adversary who is knocking on your door and my door every second of our life. He's deceiving, you know. Have you noticed that? He tempts us, and he knocks on our shoulder, and He says, go ahead, do it. Nobody will find out. Don't worry about it. Everybody's doing it anyway. You're just going to be one of the crowd. And then we give in to that temptation and we sin. And then He taps us on the other shoulder and says, now, what if they find out? What are you going to do? Ah, got you there, didn't I? God says, you are a holy people set apart for a reason. And we are to clothe ourselves with patience with each other. A family of God living together in unity for a purpose greater than ourselves. Patience. Oh, my word. I've grown impatient so many times in my life when I've wanted to see something happen very, very quickly. But what I have found out is this, that God has a process in place, and there are lessons in our lives that we need to learn before His will can be accomplished in what He wants to see happen. So He says, be patient. It'll come. Just believe. Because God took the initiative. Because He transformed our lives. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. I don't know about you. God has laid on my heart these days to take some time and study the book of Revelation. I look at what's happening in the world today, and I relate in my little finite mind things that God said would happen and would come. And I watch CNN. I should have never started watching CNN. Forgive me, but I do. And the news of the world is disheartening, is it not? Have you prayed for the people of Nepal? Has God laid a concern on your heart for those people? Just going about daily life, and suddenly snuffed out. God, how can you have peace when something like that happens in your life? How can you have peace when someone passes away in your family, or you lose your job, or there's too much month left at the end of the money, or how can you have peace when there's turmoil in your life and in the life of your family, and when your kids aren't doing what you want them to do, and now they're adults and they're doing their own thing, and you shake your head and you say, I never taught them to do that. And they do it. How do you have peace? Thank you, worship team, today for reminding us that peace, the peace of God, comes from within, comes from the heart, from your very innermost being, from living in His presence. That's where the peace comes from. That's why in the midst of the storm, you can have peace. It's the eye of the storm. You know the eye of the storm? There is no turbulence. No destruction. And living in His presence allows you and me to know this peace. And God counsels us. And he allows us to build up the family of God. And He allows us to be together. And it says in verse 16 that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. I pray that you had a sense of God inviting you to this place today. Before the worship team started, before you even entered into this place, that the peace of God that draws you into his presence, you felt that today. In your confession of faith, one of the articles reads this: we believe that God intends human life to begin in families, to be blessed through families. Even more, God desires all people to become part of the church, God's family. As single and married members of the church family, give and receive nurture and healing, Christian family relationships can grow toward the wholeness that God intends. Your reputation precedes you in this community. This community is aware of crossroads and the impact that you have for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not know that, but I can tell you that you have influence. And it's because you move in unity under excellent leadership and that you love each other and you forgive each other and you grow together with purpose that the kingdom of God is extended in this place. One day, God Almighty is going to say to you, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being. Thank you for nurturing each other. Thank you for listening to my word and acting upon it and doing what the word says. Thank you for your obedience to the word. Thank you for loving each other, helping each other, growing together. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, my beloved. Well done for sticking to the plan. Well done for being set apart, taking a stand, holding fast, standing firm. Well done. But God, the poet says, there were times in my life when I struggled. There were times in my life when I didn't know. And I thought you said that you were going to be there with me. And there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And God says, my beloved child, it was then that I carried you. Do you not feel the loving of arms of God wrapping around you? When you're lying in that hospital bed, you're hooked up to machines, and people have to come and look after you. Then that God wraps his arms around you and says, I love you. I love you. Man, do I love you. One day in the hospital, I had just come down. I was in the step-down unit. And there was a guy across the way, and I didn't know who he was, and I hadn't seen him, but he went to the washroom every once in a while and passed my bed. One morning, he got up, and he says, hi. Told me his name. He says, I can't believe it. But he says, last night at that prayer meeting in your room, I could feel the power of the Holy Spirit just alive in this place. Is that an opening or what? My son-in-law, my wife, had prayed that day. And this guy didn't go to church. But he was part of the family because his grandmother prayed for him. Took him to Sunday school at 6 years old. But when he got older, he thought his way was greater. He had had 6 or 7 relationships with women and had dropped children across the provinces of Alberta and British Columbia. But at that moment, God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, touched his life. So for the next few days, he and I would watch movies together. He had a little DVD player and about 300 pirated movies that we shared. And he would come to my bedside and we would watch movies and I would fall asleep. And when the movie was over, he waked me up and he said, what did you think of that? Like any good Christian, I said, oh, that was fantastic. I've never seen anything like that before. That was amazing. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because he cares for us, we cherish the name of God. You uplifted God today in your worship. And as you lifted hands to him, and as you sang from your heart, and as you played, God smiled upon you today. So as we leave this place today, don't leave his presence here. Be very much aware of his guiding hand, his loving heart. For you are his beloved. And there is no one like you. His plan for you and this congregation is unfathomable. Living in his presence, the Quakers call it practicing his presence. Let's pray.